After a deadly rail accident, China may find it harder to sell its trains.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao today ordered his cabinet to conduct a public investigation into the bullet train collision that killed dozens of people and injured hundreds more last weekend. China's government has been trying to manage the public outrage there, all the while worrying about something else: the country's plans to sell high-speed rail to other countries. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Rob Schmitz.
A few weeks ago, a Chinese official boasted that China's bullet trains were far better than Japan's. So superior, he said, that you couldn't even mention the two in the same breath. Since it started running 47 years ago, Japan's Shinkansen bullet train system hasn't had any collision-related deaths. In just a few years of high-speed rail in China, the death count is at 39 and climbing.
I think it has a very bad impact on their image. Of course, a lot of people already know that a lot of their equipment is inferior.
That's Edwin Murner, head of Atlantis Investment Research Corporation. He says the chances now of China exporting bullet trains to other countries is slim to none. He says China rushed its high-speed rail program, and thanks to that, it'll now start losing international railway bids to Japan and Korea.
Korea has a high-speed railway. That was delayed because the government found that a lot of the construction had not been done properly. So they just said, too bad, tear it out, do it again. But I doubt if the Chinese would do that.
Murner's not alone in his doubts. In front of the Shanghai train station, Deng Zhiwei says this accident makes him doubt the government's competence.
Our government has no regard for human life. They just don't care. They need to put everything on the table and stop hiding the reasons for this crash.
An online poll this week echoed Deng's anger. 94% of those surveyed said they were extremely dissatisfied with the government's response. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Well, here at home, we're less than a week away from the day the Treasury Department says the U.S. will default on its debt. And as the world watches the drama over raising the debt ceiling, some experts say it's further proof American economic dominance is waning. Alan Beatty is international economy editor for the Financial Times. He wrote a book called False Economy about the rise and fall of economic empires, and he's with us now. Hi, Alan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Does the political situation here in the U.S. share any traits, do you think, with other economic empires at critical moments?
It kind of feels a bit like Rome in about AD 400. But, you know, a lot of this is kind of self-inflicted. The fact that the U.S. is genuinely contemplating defaulting on its sovereign debt is not something that's been forced on it by the financial market. It's really being forced on it by an ideological decision that's being taken in Washington. So, if anything, it's even sadder and it's even worse than the end of the Roman Empire because it's self-inflicted.
If the future of an economy, Alan, is determined by people, as you argue in your book, how do you judge the current human capital in Washington?
Putting the words human and Washington into the same sentence is obviously always going to involve taking a bit of a risk. But there is certainly, I think, a worrying lack of experience and worrying lack of kind of awareness of history. They'd never had to make compromises. They'd never had to make deals.
So looking forward, say, 100 years in the future, will America end up looking like the UK does today?
I think the US will still remain more influential than that, just because there is no real alternative country coming up. If you want a historical analogy here, you know, and it kind of checks out quite well, if you think of the British Empire as being a bit like ancient Greece, you know, and then it was supplanted by the Roman Empire, which is the US. But then when the Roman Empire fell, there were these tribes, the Vandals and the Visigoths and the Huns and so on, who were strong enough to burn Rome. But they didn't really have the size or organization to run, you know, Europe and North Africa the same way. So that's kind of the concern, I think. It looks a bit like you might get a power vacuum.
Alan Beatty, the international economy editor for the Financial Times. Alan, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are lower at the moment. Europe's down about 0.5% or more. The world's biggest internet retailer, Amazon.com, said revenue surged in its second quarter. That's thanks to sales of its Kindle electronic reader and other devices. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 91 points to close at 12,501.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at farmers.com.
More than 100 new reality TV shows are in the works for summer and fall, and a lot of them are focusing on beauty and fashion. But with competitions such as Project Runway and Say Yes to the Dress, is there really a market for more? Reporter Sally Herships has more.
Wedding dresses, nail polish, jewelry, and the people who sell them. These are the focus of some of reality TV's newest shows. More than 20 are about fashion and beauty. Why?
Reality programming is about the lowest cost programming that any network can produce.
Porter Bibb of MediaTek Capital Partner says a typical reality show can cost just a quarter of what a drama would run.
They pay almost nothing to the reality talent, if you want to call it that.
But those amateurs seem to know how to make it work. Ben Grossman is editor of Broadcasting and Cable Magazine. He says during tough economic times, viewers turn to reality fashion and beauty TV for more than fluff.
So you're not just looking to be entertained, you're actually learning to get something practical that you can use in your life. That's been a huge reason these things are so popular.
Not just with viewers, but with advertisers too. Every time a manicurist opens a bottle of Flashbulb Fuchsia or Atomic Orange, everyone sees the designer label. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, Nissan reported profits dipped, but by less than expected, as parts shortages start to ease up. The Japanese automaker is banking part of its future on its electric car, the Leaf. And now Nissan says it wants its electric car owners to come up with a friendly little gesture one Leaf owner gives to one another on the road, just to say hi. Will it be a simple five-finger salute or a peace sign, perhaps? Considering there are only a few thousand Leafs on the road right now, there's probably not much of a chance that a Leaf wave will be necessary. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
I say steam power, you say what? Locomotives? Industrial Revolution? Robert Fulton, maybe? Nuh-uh.
We throw away an amount of heat from making electricity that is sufficient to heat almost all of the buildings in the United States.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Sustainability through steam. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.